You know, God is bigger than the enemy, and the enemy's going to throw spears, and he continually does it. Don't be discouraged or deceived by Satan's lies. And a lot of times what we're experiencing is just a satanic manifestation to get your eyes off of Christ, to get your eyes off of the vision that he's called you to get your eyes off your family and all that. He does it all the time. The more aware I get of this, the more aware I become of Satan's crazy schemes, the more I'm able to recognize that they're often and they're everywhere. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. But he is the prince of the power of the air at this moment in time. When Jesus returns, that's all going to be rectified. But until then, Satan has his schemes. He's playing around with us. And we fall for it because we think we're weak or we think that he's so powerful. And he's not. And he only has the power really to deceive us to the degree that we believe the deception. That's the degree that he has control over us. Even in the area of your personal health, he has no control there. He tries to convince you that you're sick or that you're dizzy or that your heart's palpitating, whatever. You know what? We've learned to just say, knock it off. Although some stuff is really stuck. Like I've had this stupid cough for 5 months. I don't get it because I pray and I've been anointed with oil and I've thought the Lord came through. And we didn't see the manifestation of that. But that doesn't mean the Lord didn't hear those prayers. And it doesn't mean that he's not answering. It just means that we got to keep knocking, keep moving forward, and keep believing for what he's already said. It's a new experience for us to learn how to put the truth that we see in God's word into practice in our lives. And we are all accustomed to going to the word, reading stuff, and going, oh, isn't that great? Isn't that marvelous? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven as it is in heaven. No, that's not what it says. It says on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, so that's a prayer that Jesus prayed that taught us to pray this way. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Do we believe that? Does he lead us into temptation? Does he deliver us from evil? That is what's in the word. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we've forgiven those who have trespassed against us. But I'm telling you something. He does give us our daily bread. He does forgive us our trespasses. Why would he then lead us into temptation and not deliver us from evil? And yet the church sees themselves as oppressed by the enemy, afflicted by the enemy, and gives him free ride to do any bizarre thing he wants to do to us, whether it's illness or any other affliction that he brings. Know this, that Satan roams around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. We need to be undevourable. And you're undevourable by knowing the truth. The more you know of God's word, the more truth you know, the more truth you have in you, the more undevourable you are. Now, you can throw in all kinds of questions about this, but the bottom line is God loves us. God's at work. He's given us authority and power, and he's given us personally authority. God has given you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, which is representative of demons and demonic activity, and to overcome all the power of the enemy. He can in no ways harm you. That's an interesting statement, Luke 10:19. Either it's true or we're just blowing smoke. But do you think it's true that God's given you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions? Yeah. He promises that. He says that. That's who you are. And so as a Christian, you don't have to take it, man. You don't have to. We are mighty and powerful and able to come against the wiles of the enemy. Don't fall for this stuff. I'm telling you, don't fall for it. And we're getting stronger and stronger in our understanding of who we are, how to apply that, and how to do it together. Our strength is in being the body. Our strength is when we're unified. Our strength is when we know who we are and we minister one to another. And every single person in here is gifted tremendously by God. And every need that arises he's going to meet through the body. Now, what is the body? I mean, we're literally the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. We are the physical body of Christ on earth. So he's going to do his thing through us. This whole thing is really important that we understand that we have authority. We can come against him. Know this, you guys. This is the way it works. You decide to get serious about your walk with God. The Satan then goes, what? I had him in my grip of being lazy or being disconnected or being distracted. And you say, no, I'm going to be focused. And then you're going to get some pushback. And so you go, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't be focused. I don't want any pushback. No, that's not the answer. The answer is to know that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Look, we are the body of Christ. We are the army of God. We are mighty men and women who can take this world by storm. We're in the world. We're not of the world. Well, I'm only human. Remember, I keep saying, no, you're not only human. 2 Peter 1 verse 4 says that he has given us his divine nature. Wake up and realize that. Now, I told you about this. I was trying to teach this just slightly to a group of men the other day, and they asked me never to come back again. Why? Why would that happen when you tell people you don't have a sin nature, you've been set free, you've got a God nature in you, and you have authority? Why would people go, no, I don't want to hear that? What's your guess on this? Why would they say that? What is it that's so repulsive and difficult about that message?
Is it because then there's no excuse for them to keep sinning?
That's exactly what it is. If we tell somebody they don't have a sin nature, then they go, well, then the devil didn't make me do it? No, you chose to do it. And that's a way different thing. We're told we have a sin nature and we sin because, you know, it's just that nature that's in, I just have a sin nature. No, you don't. It was eradicated from you. It was crucified, Romans 6:6 says. Crucified, gone. I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but the life I now live is by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. This is a different person. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. If you're a Christian, you are not a sinner. If you're a Christian, you're not of this world. If you're a Christian, you're mighty and powerful. I mean, we keep teaching this over and over, but it bounces off people's heads or they reject it. And I tell you, many of the people in the churches around Sutherland, when I talk to them, they reject this outright. They don't want to hear it. And they're like, what's so hard about the good news? Why is it so repulsive? Because as hard as it is to believe, though we got a lot of churchgoers in this town, these churchgoers are religious. They go to church religiously, but they don't know their identity, so they're not a threat to the kingdom of darkness, and they're no help to Sutherland. They're no help to the kingdom of God. If you don't know your identity, you're just taking up air. Quit calling yourself a Christian. If you're not going to step into your true identity, you're wasting space. God's got you here for a purpose. He could save us and take us home. Bam! But he's got a mission for us. He's got people that need to be loved and saved and lots of glorious things that we get to do. Otherwise, let's just go straight to heaven. I mean, I'm not afraid of dying to live as Christ, and to die is even better. Paul said, to live as Christ, man, to live as Christ. To die is gain, but to live is Christ. You've heard that phrase. What does he mean? Man, if I get to live, I get to just enjoy Christ. I get to exemplify him. I get to walk in him and walk with him. If I'm a Christian and I'm alive, it's Christ. And if I die, it's gain, glory. To be out of the body is to be present with the Lord. While you're here, every morning wake up, say, God, I love you. Thank you for this day. Oh, I'm so glad to be alive because there's stuff to do with you. Let's get out there and do it. If I were to die last night, that wouldn't be a heartbreak. That wouldn't be a hardship. It'd be a hardship for my friends and family. Well, some of my friends. No.
Some of your family.
What? And some of your family. They're like, oh, she's gone. Good riddance. Well, you're a troublemaker.
Just kidding.
Yeah, just kidding. Well, but think of this. You got to think about this. You're powerful and you have a purpose. That's it. What's your purpose? Well, you got to figure that out day by day. And you never know. I mean, God does amazing things. Who are you going to run into? What tragedy or... These guys had to deal with a car wreck right in front of their house. And Ron was Johnny on the spot, running outside, helping. I mean, that's a purpose. And he was ready. He jumped out there and he did what you do in times like that, you know? You never know when some kind of thing like that's going to happen. It could happen to you. It could happen to those you love. And you know, Satan's always out there doing whatever. And two of these girls, these two girls that got in the wreck, I hear they're Christians. Thank you, Lord. I pray that their family is praying and that they're getting together. We've been praying for them every day since this happened. We don't even know them, but oh man, I pray that all things work together for good to those who love God. Those two girls love God and are called according to His purpose. Their family is going to experience something, whether they live or die, whether they recover or whether they have some long-term effects of this thing. It's going to be used for God's kingdom. That's what God promises. If we're in Christ, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And we know that Satan's out there just chucking spears and trying to ruin our lives and trying to take us down and distract us. That's okay, because greater is He who's in me. And we resist the enemy. He roams around like a roaring lion. It's a funny thing, really, when he says he roams around like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. That roaring lion thing, it's a mockery of the roaring lion of Jesus Christ. He's the Lion of Judah. He's the lion. Satan's not a lion. He's a toothless, fangless gummer. And he's got that. Yeah. He's got no power unless you don't know Jesus. If you know Jesus, he's just gumming, you know.
He has no power over you except for the degree you believe it's lies.
Yeah, yeah. He's got the power to lie and deceive. And if you believe it, He owns you. But know the truth.
And the truth will set you free.
Amen, sister. Give her some candy. We used to have candy up here. We just throw it at people that answered questions. Then we all went on keto and quit throwing candy around. What I want to do today is I want to take a look at the one another's in Scripture. So I have printed up a one another flyer for you. This is for you to keep and to keep referring to. Put this in. I'm not going to give one because you. No, I'm kidding. You get one too.
You didn't like what I said.
I love what you said. So this is, everybody take one of these. There's flyers back there. There's going to be a whole bunch more. I don't know if you noticed above the coffee, there's little flyer bins, and we're going to keep printing flyers so you can take information with you. Would you like one, ma'am?
Please.
And one for your hubby?
Certainly.
Yes. And here you go. And one for you. I know that. And you're welcome. And I printed up some giant ones for, I was thinking Murph was going to be here, and for anybody else that can't read this little print. But that is 12-point print. You should be able to read it. I find that most people can read 12, so I always do it in that. Can you read that? Anybody have problems with that? You can't see it?
I can see it.
You can see it. Okay. Can everybody see it?
I can see it.
So that's not a bad size, right? 12? Yeah, thank you. And you can get a lot more on there with 12. So what, I did this wrong. Doggone it. I was going to say, do you know any one another verses? What comes to mind? And we were going to write it on the whiteboard, and you were going to tell me all the one another verses that you could think of, and then I was going to give you the flyer and go, here's 50 of them. I was going to sucker you in there. And it, I forgot, but I'm still on this whiteboard because we're going to work on a few of these. So, here's what I want you to do. How many people in this room know Jesus Christ personally? He's somebody you've met, you've hung out with. You haven't just heard about him, but you actually know him, right? They want to say they know somebody, and then you find out they didn't really know him. They went to class with him once or something like that. Do you know Jesus? Do you hang out with him? Do you understand the way he thinks? Do you understand the way he communicates?
Yeah, yeah, you do. So this is a group that knows Jesus, right? So you Jesus knowers, take this flyer right now, go through it, look at when one of those one of those grips you, you might grab a couple, and then we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about your one another. Put it on the board and see what it says, see why it says it. So this is going to be you guys teaching you guys, everybody teaching each other about the one another's. We're going to try to discover more about the one another's. So, as you read through that, look it up in your Bible, read it in context, and then we're going to talk about the one another's. In the meantime, I'll play some Jeopardy music. Dun, 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 dun. I wish I could play that. That would be funny.
Who's got another one another that we can look at?
Let me just pray. Father, as we look at these one another things, teach us more. Show us what you mean by this. Why is it all over the place? Why is there so many of these? What do you want to have happen? Reveal it to us, and I pray you speak through the body as the body instructs the body, through the leading of the Spirit and the power of your word, Lord. We thank you that you've given us your Bible, the Word of God. We can jump in there and we can see you. I know you're the living Word, but it's so fun to get into the Word and to be a workman of the Word, able to rightly divide it and mine for all the nuggets that are in there. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. And would you lead us, guide us, instruct us, direct us right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So give me the first one. And while we're doing it, you can continue your research. This feels like it's too close to you guys. Is this all right? Give me a one another. Keep going.
Yep, you're
writing down three. Yeah. Oh, you don't trust me anymore. You've seen my writing.
Be devoted to one another.
What?
Be devoted.
What's the scripture reference?
Romans 12:10.
Be devoted to one another. Wait a minute. Let's think of Romans 12, 1 and 2, right? In view of God's mercy, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing, acceptable unto him. And be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your heart, that you may test and approve that God's word, or that God's will is good and perfect and pure. That's Romans 12, 1 and 2. And don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Which was your verse?
Romans 12:10.
Let's jump down there and see what Romans 12:10. Oh, Romans 12 is so full of glory, man. All right, Romans 12:10. Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another. So I want to see it in the Bible. Romans 12:10. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Amen. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. That's why Dave and I hang together. Now, who's the beneficiary there, huh? And do not be conceited. That's kind of the context there. He's talking about living sacrifices. Remember, it starts off with, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. You don't need to become holy and pleasing. You are holy and pleasing because of Christ. Therefore, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. That's what I'm talking about with the body of Christ. Now, when you do that, what's it going to look like? This is what we're looking at. The one another's. And he hits two right in a row. Bam, bam. So the first one was that you mentioned was be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Now, be devoted to one another.
We just looked at that. It means to cherish.
Any more?
Cherish like it's your kindred.
Be devoted. So we're to be devoted to one another. Fill that out. What does this mean? Be careful where you're writing, because we're going to be doing several of them. So if we can. But yeah. And I like what you just wrote. You wrote honor? Is that what you put up there?
I just read what Betsy read, like four of them.
Oh, Betsy, you can't read four of them.
But that basically means to cherish one
another. I like parent to child.
I like Ephesians 4:32. It goes right in line with that.
Oh, what is it?
Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you.
That's Ephesians 4:32. So hold that. That's another one another. Let's flesh this Romans 12 out. They are connected, and I see the connection there. I appreciate that. I want to look up devoted in my little Greek way. I want to see what that word is. It's Philostorgos, which is funny. Phileo. Derived from two Greek words, philos, meaning loving, right? Phileo, or friendly. And storge, which is natural affection or family love. So, storge, it's really interesting that devoted to one another is philostorgos. So that's love with a family type of love, which is what you guys are saying. This be devoted to each other is so much deeper than some, well, I'm devoted to you. It is to love you with that family type of love. You know how it is with your families. If there was a natural disaster, a tornado, you're going to be looking for your family first. You're not looking for the neighbors first. You're looking for your family first. Make sure you've got your family together, that they're okay, and they weren't swept up in the tornado. And that's that family love. That's what he's saying. Be devoted to another. Just that word alone is telling us that there's something unique about these people. Then he's calling them family and calling them to the kind of devotion that we only see in families. You don't see that elsewhere. That's a unique kind of thing. But we're the family of God, and that is phenomenal. Be devoted to one another. As we look at these one another's, you're going to see that we're very special. You're going to see that the body of Christ is your highest calling. It's your highest connection. It's your highest commitment. It's your highest bond is the family of God. We think it's our natural family. It isn't. It's the family of God. Because you'll notice your natural family can be pretty ridiculous at times. And families can be torn. Families can be, separated. But man, the family of God, we don't want to see that torn ever.
Yeah, when right before Beverly left, she said, I'm so thankful to have this family.
That's cool. She wasn't talking about genetics. She was talking about spiritual genetics. That's really good. So be devoted to another. Anything else you want to add to that one, you guys? To the be devoted? Anything else you see in the context?
Well, back to Ephesians 4:4. There is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called into one hope of your calling.
Ephesians 4:4. One body, one hope, one spirit. Put that down, Ephesians 4:4. What was the What's the one another in that one? Didn't you just read an Ephesians passage with one another in it?
Be kind.
Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you.
So 4:32, let's go look at that. Galatians.
Well, going back to the first one. Honor one another above yourself.
What?
Going back to the first one.
Yeah, where did you get that?
It's in the manual.
Is it the next one?
It's in Romans 12.
Romans 12, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's in. Be devoted to one another. It's the same verse. I thought it was the next verse. Honor one another above yourselves. Okay, we got to look that up.
Esteem
one another?
Yeah. It's time.
Spend time, is that what it is?
Teammate.
Oh, teammate. I looked up devoted and constant, dedicated, devout, faithful, fast, good, loyal, steadfast, steady, true.
Wow.
And that's awesome. In this verse, Romans 12:10, what does yours say?
Devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor.
Okay. Anybody else have something different? Give preference to one another in honor. He says, honor one another above yourselves. You just said, honor one another, give preference to one another in honor. Is that what it says in your text?
As a precious, somebody is precious, that you esteem them, to give people honor.
To esteem them is to hold them a high value above yourself. And I'm just wondering if the word esteem is in any of the Bible translations that you're looking at. Anybody see that? Because that's definitely the Greek word is. It says in Greek, in honor, esteem one another. In honor, esteem one another. And that's amazing stuff. Honor is pretty much, you already said it all, honor, value. Respect, price, put a price on them, derived from the two words meaning teo, meaning to value or to honor. Hold them precious and valuable to you. Look, this is tough stuff. Here's why it's tough. We've just gone through some real difficulty as a body where some people have left. And if you're like me, that hurts. Hurts deeply. It rips on your heart because we do love each other and we do value and we do honor each other. So you look at that, wait a minute. There's some people that aren't here and I wish they were. I wish people wouldn't have separated themselves from us. And by the way, nobody has ever been kicked out of this church. And there are many stories of how many people I've kicked out of the church. We haven't kicked a single person out. We would never do that. But we have said, if you don't want to go where we're going, if you don't want to study the Word, and you don't believe that we have a single nature instead of two natures, if you don't believe that stuff, you're not going to have fun here. Go find another church that will teach you that kind of stuff, because we're not teaching that. We're teaching our true identity in Christ. That may ruffle some feathers. And I've been called a false teacher because of that. And show me where I'm false. If you can show me where I'm false, I'll look at it. But I'm not. This is what the Word says. What's false is the fact that we don't teach it. So people go, well, then I'm out of here. And then they make phone calls and go, don't go to that church. He's teaching false things because they're ignorant. Ignorant meaning they don't know. Ignorant just simply means you don't know. It doesn't mean you're stupid. It just means they need to read the Word. Be a workman of the Word. So they call everybody up,
And they say, you know, Mike's a false teacher. He's teaching false stuff. He says that we don't have a sin nature, so you can't go to that church. No. So wake up to the reality that everything you've been taught about your identity in Christ has been wrong up until now. It's not. I'm not the only one that teaches this. Go look at my office. I have stacks and stacks of books by pastors all over the world who teach what I'm teaching. And it's not new and some new idea. You can go all the way back to Bible times to Paul. Paul taught. He's the one who teaches it. But this has been the standard teaching of the church until 300 AD. Standard teaching of the church. We're just getting back to what the Bible teaches. And so people go, no, I don't like that. And they rip themselves out of the body. That's not esteeming each other. That's not being devoted to each other. That's none of this stuff. It is painful. It does hurt. Because this is family. I'm not saying these people aren't family. They're family. They're the body of Christ. And when that kind of thing happens, that's worse than losing family. It's worse. And so it just grieves me, and it grieves the body of Christ, and it hurts God's image in the eyes of the community. It's very hurtful. So understand, when you truly are devoted to one another, when you esteem one another above each other, when you understand we're one body, one spirit, and to be kind to each other, then it says when there's differences, you go to the Word. You communicate with each other. You reason together. You don't want to break that bond. You don't want to break that bond. Now, if I were going to church and they were teaching some weird thing that I didn't believe was true, I wouldn't go. Although, and I've had to do that in several churches, although I meet with the pastor and say, I don't see this in the Word. I don't know how you're getting that. And they'll go, well, then get out of here. You know, I want them to say, show me in the Word. But I understand if you don't think that a church is teaching the Word or doing it right, then you need to move on. You don't stay and cause disruption. Yeah.
I think one of the greatest things that that I have seen coming here is that what you're teaching is right there. It's all those Bible verses that you gave us several weeks ago, a month ago, 2 months ago, it's all there. You just have to, you know, it's like, I've read through the Bible, I can't forget, I don't remember how many times, but it didn't speak to me until it was presented in the way that you presented it. And that's it. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah. It is.
But what I don't understand is when you have a conversation with pastors and other believers, they don't believe the Scripture?
Yeah.
And if somebody points it out to you, you go, wow. But how can you go, no, I don't believe that?
Yeah, and thank you for saying all those things, because that's the confusion. But understand, I taught against this for 35 years. And
why?
Because I was taught by my teachers that, yes, indeed, you do have a sin nature, and you will wrestle with sin all the days of your life, and that you haven't been set free, and that's not going to happen until we die. Now, death becomes our great Savior, not Jesus in his death. It's my death will set me free, because then I'll see him face to face, I'll be trained, I'll be transformed. But he says I've already been transformed. So that's the standard teaching out of Western evangelical seminaries and churches and pastors. And so I had a library that was, I really loved my library, you know, thousands of books that I've studied and I knew, and I mean, I know my theology, right? And I gotta throw all these books away. They're all wrong. You're throwing away Augustine? Yeah. You're throwing away, you know, Calvin and Luther, and yeah, they're wrong. They don't know their identity in Christ, and I'm not gonna refer to them, put them on my reference shelf. I had a wall Now, I keep pointing to this wall because I literally had a wall, floor to ceiling, with one of those rolling ladders and all those books. And I love my books. I mean, they're my friends. It's like, you know, I collect guitars too. Some guys collect guns or other things, and they love them. I love books because they're people I've talked to. They're guys I've sat down with and learned from, and I'm thankful for each of these authors. And I had to go, I got to get rid of these. They're not true. They're leading people astray. And so I've got some favorite author or pastors. I love Chuck Swindoll. I feel like he's my grandpa. I was raised on Chuck Swindoll. You know who Chuck Swindoll is? Nobody knows Chuck Swindoll. He was the president of Dallas Seminary, and he was, anyway, he had a radio ministry that was Insight for Living. I listened to every Insight for Living and sent away for his little booklet that he sends you. You fill it out every month and you listen to the radio. Anyway, love Chuck Swindoll. He doesn't get grace. Doesn't get it at all. Love John MacArthur, one of the smartest men alive today. He doesn't get grace. He will fight me on this.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, you're a Bible scholar. You know all these languages. Why? Why don't you see this? You want to know why? Because they're blinded by the spirit of this age. And we don't understand it, but the church is in captivity right now. The church is in captivity to a lie, and it keeps Christians from being dynamic and powerful. And so we've got all this Christianity going on, and they're not much different from the world. Their values, how they spend their time, how they spend their money, they're watching, this always cracks me up, is that they're watching the Academy Awards, that's so exciting, they're watching the Emmys, and they're who cares? I don't have time for that stuff. I don't venerate those people. If Brad Pitt were to walk in here right now, I'd go, hey, take a seat and get to know Jesus. No, I'd probably go, that's Brad Pitt. I can't Brad Pitt, the King of Archer. It is funny that there are those weird things. Why would I care? Who would you be more excited about if they walked through the door, Brad Pitt or Jesus?
Jesus.
I'd say, hold on, Jesus, that's Brad Pitt. Uh-huh. I mean, that's how stupid we are.
Yeah.
You know, kind of blind by the world. But we are blinded by the spirit of this age and the spirit of this world. And the church is in captivity to the lying spirit of this world. The church, God's people. My dream is to set them free. Because when you heard this stuff, you're inside you, you're going, what? What? Yes, I see it. Oh my goodness, this is life to me. When I first saw this, my friend called me and said, I can't believe it, I'm going to this church, and this guy, John Crowder, who's my favorite author on this subject, John Crowder, Mystical Union, his book's the epic tome on this. He said, this guy, John Crowder, he had a living room church. He said, I'm going to his church, and it's awesome. I'm growing so much. And he says, we don't have a sin nature. I said, dude, pack your bags and run. That guy just, he wants a license for sin. He wants to just, explain away all the sin that he's going to do. He goes, no, that's not what he's saying. He's saying because we've been changed, we don't have a sin nature. And I'm like, no. And then my friend, he says, Mike, I really wanted to share this with you, this book. I thought if anyone would tear through it and at least work it through with me, it would be you. And I'm like, well, that is what I do. And so he appealed to my ego. And I'm going, all right, send me this stupid book, and I'll read it. So he sent it to us, and I'm reading this book going, babe, you can't believe what's in here. You can't believe it, because I'm mad. I'm like, yeah, I read his the headings of his chapters. This guy's going to be so out to lunch. And then I read it in scripture, and I got my Bible here, and I've got him sitting there. I'm just like Donna, going, I can't believe I haven't seen this my whole life. It's easy. It's right there. So I tore through that book. It took me a month to really rip it through. Then I called my friend back up. I said, This book's okay. I want to meet this guy. And then we became John Crowder fans. And that started, this was 20 years ago, it started our journey into grace. And it transformed everything, I believe. And I had to go back, and I had boxes of tapes and CDs I'd made of my own teaching. People had the Mike Filippi series on this. They're like, and we threw it all out. It was really hard. It was an ego crusher. Because I thought I was doing really good, and I was well known as a conference speaker and going around teaching. I was wrong. I had to rethink that stuff, and for a long time I wasn't teaching anything because I didn't get this. I didn't even have a language for saying these things. Now we're developing what I call my personal lexicon. It's hard to speak grace because I keep speaking ungrace. You know, when I pray, I say, Lord, I pray you'll bless us. I already have it. I pray your spirit would rain down. I'm already there. Fill me with your spirit today. I did that. You got to be careful. Once you start understanding grace, you start realizing your prayer life is upside down. That makes people mad. That makes people go, well, I'm out of here. Why? Just read, like Donna said. Just read. Show me if I'm wrong. I'm not. I'm sure I'm wrong in various areas, but not on this. Not on grace, I'm telling you. So, these one another verses are the very essence of the body of Christ. It is the essence of grace. If you're walking in grace, you're doing one another's. And they become easier and easier because it's who you are. It's no longer what you're trying to do, trying to be holy, trying to be good, trying to be a good Christian. You begin to realize who you are. You are good. You are filled with the Spirit, and you love to do the one another's. Okay, that was, I didn't expect to teach on that. And it's not getting picked up, so I doubt it's being taped. But
Is it?
Is it picking them up? Did you turn those on or something?
Yeah, I turned them on.
You smarty pants. Okay, so that may be out there. Yesterday I did a funeral, and I gave a short gospel presentation. And it was just 12 minutes. But I taped it and I put it on our website because it's, you can take anybody to that. It's very simple gospel presentation. And so I like to tape stuff, especially if it's clear. And then go listen, go, and don't forget, our website has everything we've ever taught is on there. So if you go to the website, you can look up the sermons and then you, they're categorized. You can learn by re-listening. And I'm looking at everybody going, please learn this stuff. The faster you learn it and get it under your belt, it sounds like you're sucking it up. You're probably reading some books. You're probably going a little deeper than you can with just the Bible. The Bible's great, but sometimes we need a little coaching. That's why I have all those books. They're my coaches. But I'm telling you, you gotta read. If you want to lead, you gotta read. Read to lead. If you want to be a leader in the kingdom of God, you've got to be a reader in the kingdom of God. Not just the Word of God, but good authors that understand grace and are gonna help you see it. Because everything in your spiritual world is going to tell you what I teach is not real. And it is real. And this one another stuff is so powerful when you realize that's not the words I put in this flyer. Because a lot of places when you're looking, they always use the commands. Say I don't have positive commands and negative commands. Which most people call these positive and negative commands. No, they're encouragements. They're directions. They're not commands. For those under grace, there are no commands. That would be law. But he's reminding you of who you are. He's telling you of your own DNA. And that's what we need to know. Who am I in Christ? I've got a pamphlet back there. Who am I in Christ?
Yeah, people always think that grace gives you a license to sin, but it's actually, it gives you the power to sin no more.
Oh, absolutely. And I've been sinning my whole life, and I didn't even have a license.
Yeah, exactly.
We do good without that license. But yeah, it isn't a license to sin. It is a freedom to walk away from sin. Oh, and that's bad. That's tough for people to buy into. You understand? You guys get what I'm saying? Get this stuff.
You know how it says, probably, I can't remember if it's in Timothy. You know how, it says that we should have the steadfastness of Christ. So what you were just saying, we are steadfast, so we can be steadfast to each other. We are kind, so we can be kind to because of our DNA.
Yeah.
We are these things, so we can exhibit these things.
Yes. Yeah, and we manifest them because, as you say, that's our DNA, and we can be steadfast in doing so because it's our DNA.
Yeah.
We're not trying to be good. We're not trying to be Christians. It just happens to fall out of us. That's who we are, and that's why I say go play, because when you know your identity and you're walking in it, the most fun you can possibly have is to walk in your identity, to express the Jesus that's in you. Don't hide it. Let it out. Love people. Laugh. I think Christians should be the most gleeful, joyful, winsome people on the planet. You don't have to be all solemn and, hey, oh, I'm a Christian, I've been blessed by God, I'm going to heaven. You don't want to come with me? No, I honestly don't even want to be around you. Christians should be fun.
Yeah.
They really should. That's why I say we play. It should be fun. Well, and then somebody said, well, what about if you're being tortured or people have a gun to your head and say, denounce Christ? And is that fun? Are you playing now? Yeah, sort of. Because you're walking in Christ. You take Stephen, and they were going to drag him out and stone him, and they told him to denounce Christ, and Stephen just laughed. And they stoned him. People like to say he got stoned, but I don't think that's what it means. And while they were stoning Stephen, he was praising the Lord in the midst of it. That's what I mean by go play. Because for us, this is just a way station as we're passing through, as we're on our way to our final glory with Jesus. But while we're going through here, let's do the one another's. Let's build each other up. Let's encourage each other. We only got two one another's really on here. Give me another one.
Well, one of my favorites here is...
You've already given us one, ma'am.
Speak the truth in love. Did you ever hear from Joyce Myers?
Oh, yeah.
she was talking about her sister, and she was saying something about, well, she didn't look good in this outfit or something. And so she was going to speak to her about that in love.
In love, bless your heart. That's our favorite line. Yeah. Bless your heart. Yeah. You can say anything to somebody, just say bless your heart.
If you know what I mean.
If you know what I mean. You're so lovely in that outfit. Bless your heart.
Bless her.
Yeah. Well, speak the truth to one another.
In love.
In love. To one another. We need to speak the truth to one another. And you know, there's people that have left the church, I hate to keep going back there, that we're trying to speak the truth to, but they won't sit down and they won't have a meeting. They don't want to hear it. And we're trying to speak the truth in love. This is what the word, I don't want to hear it. And then there's accusations come back and back and back. I'm like, well, what are those all about? I don't understand what you're saying. I don't understand why you're saying those things. You know, in text, you can't understand it. But I'd like to meet with you. I'd like to meet face to face and like to talk to you. I don't want to meet. You're this and you're this and you're that. And you're that. Like, those things may be true. I don't know because I'm not really sure what you're talking about. Let's meet. But there's not speaking the truth and there's not speaking in love. We have to have that. And so, just to let you know, that's Satan. Attacking God's people, attacking the church, attacking his bride, and we're standing firm. We're going to be steadfast in what we're teaching, steadfast in where we're going, steadfast in what we believe God's called the way to be. We're going to stick with it. And there are people that don't like it, and that's okay. Go find something else. We're going to follow where we believe God's calling us based on the design we see in his word. What does that mean for you? It means that we're going to do less of this kind of thing where there's a guy teaching and more of this kind of thing where you're teaching one another. And even Donna sharing and you guys sharing various scriptures with each other, that's the one another's happening. That's the Holy Spirit moving in you and through you and you're building each other up. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
We're going to get to know this better and better. Like you say, you're just coming. You're just figuring out. We figured this out 20 years ago. Changed our walk with Christ dramatically.
Yeah.
And it changed the way we speak, changed the way what we expect, changed the way we pray. So we expect that's going to happen to all of us. We want a body who gets their identity.
Change the way we journal.
And yeah, well, she's talking about the fact that I always journal every day, always. I buy a journal, an empty journal, you know, and fill it up. By the end of the year, I pretty much filled it up, and I get a new one, and I've got a whole rack of journals every year and what I was going through and what God was dealing with. And lots of things happened in my life. But this theme through it all is, how come I can't get holy? How come my life sucks? How come I love you, but I can't seem to really understand how to go deeper with you? Until I met Grace, and that was the end of my journaling. Because now I'm just praising the Lord. Now my journals, oh, you're so awesome. Now you're so cool. You're so amazing. I'm not crying out going, how come I can't stop sinning? How come I'm so struggling? How come I'm wrestling? I said this to a men's group the other day. And a guy goes, well, you must have sinned today. He said, I can tell you I sinned probably 100 times a day. I said, I don't think I did. God, you're sinning right there. That's what he said. He said, be careful, brother. Be careful. I'm like, are you really wrestling with sin? If you're wrestling with sin, you don't know your identity. Sin has been eradicated. It has been bound up. It has been cast away. Now, you're going to have your flesh to deal with. That means your body, you can be tired. You ever got tired, you got cranky, and it scares Ron?
It doesn't scare him. Every day.
He gets annoyed. That was sin right there, so you can't stop.
I wake up grumpy.
That's a true statement.
Oh.
Sometimes I wake up grumpy. Other times I just let her sleep in. That's not very nice. Oh, man. So your body has to eat. It has to drink water. It has to get rest. It has to get vitamin D, believe it or not. You know, it has to get nutrients. It has to make passionate love. That's what your body's created for. Your body needs those things. If you deprive your body of those things, you get weird. And those passions and desires become lusts. And they get overbalanced in this area or that area. And so now you find yourself drinking too much, cussing too much, being angry. You find yourself looking for relief. So you're drinking or you're smoking or and that's just, that's not sin in you that's trying to get out. That's, you haven't taken care of yourself. And if you don't take care of yourself, things get wonky. And that's the flesh, the carpazzo, you say corporal punishment, corporeal punishment. That's the corpus. In Greek, it's the flesh. And the sarx. A lot of times they'll translate sarx as sin nature. No, there's a big difference between sin nature and sarx. We got rid of the sin nature, but we still got the sarx. The sarx is real. I have bad habits, and I'm trying to change those. You know, old stupid stuff that I used to do, and I don't do no more, right? But if you don't feed yourself, you're going to get hungry, and what happens? You get hangry, right? You get cranky. You know, if you don't drink enough water, you'll start getting weird. You'll start having hallucinations or cramps in your body or whatever. Drink your water, right? We have needs. If we haven't taken care of our physical corpus, our physical body, you're going to do these things to people. To look, she's got a sin nature. No, she hasn't taken care of herself. That's you have real needs and desires. Now, men, you'll understand. If a beautiful woman walked by, scantily clothed or whatever, something inside you goes, oh, my goodness. I don't know if women have that same response. You've seen beautiful women and you didn't have that. And you go, oh my goodness, that's amazing. Now, you can go, oh my goodness, and your eyes pop out like that wolf in the cartoon. And you're like, no. You go, okay, that's a natural response because God created women beautiful to a man. That's just the way he made them. So you see a woman, you go, wow, that's beautiful. That's an amazing thing. Enough of that. Thank you, Lord. Bless her. On she goes. Or, let's say you haven't met your needs or whatever, and you've got your testosterone levels going crazy, then you're like, a little too much of this. Why? Because you're a sinner. No, because you have a natural attraction to women that God has placed in there. But it's supposed to be decent and in order and following the Spirit within you because you're a holy temple. So when you don't take care of yourself, you're going to respond improperly. And you're not going to have provisions that you need. So women, take care of your men. Men, take care of your women. That's why God's saying connected us that way. It's very important. And it's the same way with eating, same way with exercise. You don't exercise, you're going to get fat and sloppy. You're going to be tired. You're not going to do the things you're supposed to be doing. All this stuff happens when you don't exercise. And you go, why am I acting so weird? I'm a sinner. No, you haven't exercised. And then you eat crap. You eat crap. Lots of sugar and lots of things you should be eating. And all of a sudden you find yourself having a weird personality. Eat right. So just I'm saying that Your flesh is delicate and it lives in a real world. But in Christ, you're not a slave to your flesh. Amen? And I don't mean flesh by sin nature. I mean flesh like your tent, your mortal tent. Does that make sense? Does everybody know this? Am I teaching anything new there? You knew that, right? Did you know that your flesh is not your sin nature? Did you know those are separate? Did you know those drives that you have is not because you're a sinner? Those drives that you have is because you're a human. And you need to take care of your body. Do you know that? But that's why I'm trying to make that point. Don't make that mistake, because that's where people go, no, I am a sinner. Here's why. And I'm like, no, you're hungry. That's why. You got to get this. So, again, we're the body of Christ that's here at the Way. We're growing. We're becoming more mature. We're learning our identity. We're teaching each other our identity. We're learning to speak to each other. You know, it says speak to each other, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It's the same thing. You're speaking to each other in spiritual ways that are right, that are accurate, because we're learning the word and we're going to start relating to each other the way that the Bible says we should relate to each other. That's what's going to happen at the Way. That's happening right now. I'm hiccuping because I got to eat. And that's what God is doing here. We're resetting it. We're literally taking a big eraser to the whiteboard of our Christianity and say, okay, God, let's start from the beginning. Lay the foundation in grace. So what we're teaching is college-level courses in theology about grace. And you're sitting here going, that's not really what I came to church for. That's what you came to church for. If you came for something else, you came for the wrong reason. If you want to have a sermon that wows you or a new nugget, that's amazing. You know, your favorite preacher on TV or whatever, go listen to those guys. I do all the time. But I come here so that we can learn from each other, build each other up, and in just two more weeks, we're moving back to you doing all the teaching and not me or Dave. That is the biblical model. You doing the teaching through the Holy Spirit as you're inspired by God. Better be in the Word. You can only teach what you know. You know, if you're not in the Word, you don't know nothing. Stay in the Word. If you want to argue with me about my position or what I've done or why somebody else isn't in the church, let's do that over the Word. And people don't want to do that. They just want to argue. They want to be mad, or they want to be upset, or they want to poke fingers or poke fun. Hey, we're going to do things as best we can as we see it in the Word. You got that? Now, when we come, see, I want to see you be the men's leader of this church. And I told you that. But I think, Ron, and I'm going to tell you what. I think that you're a man of integrity. You're a man of real honesty and really some deep maturity that you're not even aware of, because you don't know who you are. You have an impact on those around you because you're not a loud mouth. You're not boisterous. And when you speak, it's meaningful. And there's weight behind it. You're the type of guy I want leading our men, you know. And I think you're wise. And I think you've had a lot of years with Christ. And I want to see all those nuggets come out as you touch other lives. So I've been praying for you since I mentioned that to you. I think God's going to use you to lead our men. We'll see. We'll see. But I'm planting another seed. See. And now everybody knows it. So stay on this case, you guys, till it breaks down. No. We don't want this to be a work of man. We want this to be a work of God. And I do see you as a godly man and a very respectable man with integrity. And I love that about you. So I watch you with your son-in-law. He admires you. And I saw that one night at dinner with you. And I was so impressed with that. With you.
That surprised me too.
Yeah. Yeah, and it gripped me so hard. I'm like, that's the kind of father-in-law I want to be. Mm-hmm. That my son-in-laws look up to me and go, I've learned a lot. You've been the father that he hasn't had. You've been the Jesus for him. And you didn't even know it. You're just living your life and doing your thing, and God's using you. That's a man of integrity. Mm-hmm. And I saw that you didn't know it. I saw that it surprised you as well as Tyler doesn't really share on that level very often. But that was so powerful. That's the body, see? Young man relating to his older men. And he can see, and he wants to walk that way, and he wants to be that to his family. And he's learned to be a husband and a father by watching you. Right? And I'm sure when he first came into your life, you're like, dude, what are you thinking for your daughter, you know? and yet he's changed. Why? He's watched. We have that ability to change each other. Know who you are and walk in that, and you're going to rub off on those around you. God's going to use you. And that's what we're hoping to be. And anybody who comes through the doors of the way, and really, I don't really care about the doors because I want the way to live out there. That's why we go to bars and bistros and places. We want to be out there. We have most of our elder meetings at Starbucks. And there's people around us. And we've got a chance to share and talk to people. So God moves through the body. The salt's got to get out of the salt shaker and get out there, you know. But why do we come in here and gather? Because we need to sharpen each other. We need to remind each other who we really are. See, I just reminded you of something you felt, you knew, but you probably forgot for a second. Now you remember. That's right. That was. Why is he asking me to lead men? Because I see what you did to Tyler. And I go, that's organic. He didn't do that because he went to some how to lead men class. He did that because he's been walking with God. Not said. That's beautiful stuff. Hi, y'all. So we've gone way over time. You have all the one another's in your hand. Bring them back again next week with you. And we're going to go through more. And you're standing there the whole time. Thank you. But that's good because you would have fallen asleep.
Do you believe in me?
But we're going to continue to understand our identity in Christ, continue to learn the one another's, and then the last thing we're going to learn is how to communicate grace, what it really is, and how to communicate. We kind of went over that.
Yeah, we did. We're into what love really looks like.
What love really looks like. That's an amazing teaching.
What's love got to do?
Change of plans again.
Well, let's pray. Thank you for the input. For being willing to jump in. I did a lot of spontaneous, impromptu teaching based on what the Lord has been teaching me. I hope you benefited from it. I hope you see it in the Word. And are you leaving?
I'm going to.
You what?
They are going to Kylie.
You what?
She's picking up Kylie.
Oh, you just came?
Yeah.
I thought I saw you there earlier. That's funny.
In spirit, I was.
Yes, you were.
Let's pray.
Father, you are good to us. We're learning so much. We're growing. Continue that process. As iron sharpens iron, as we learn to be devoted to one another, be kind to each other, speak the truth to one another, and walk in that integrity, Lord. And I thank you for what came about today. We look forward to what you have more and more, more and more. Oh, man, we love you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.